Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It's January 19th, and while it's still wintertime here in the United States, especially up in the Northeast with all the traffic and all that's been going on, motorsports season is about to get underway. The Chili Bowl was run this past weekend, and coming up this coming week will be the kickoff for the Northeast. The Motorsports 2015 Auto Trade Show, and I'd like to welcome to the show the publisher of Area Auto Racing News and the guy in charge of the whole festivity this coming weekend, as well as the indoor night race a couple weeks later, is Mr. Len Sammons. Len, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
All right, welcome. Thank you for giving us a call.
2015, the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center, the current home of motorsports show every year. I've been gone when I was back in Fort Washington. How long have you been doing the motorsports show?
This is our 30th anniversary event. We actually started at the Valley Forge Convention Center, which is only 5 minutes up the road from where we're currently now in Oaks, Pennsylvania. We went from Oaks to Fort Washington for a larger building. And then when that facility closed, we moved to Atlantic City for 3 years, and then we've been at Oaks ever since. It's a very large one-floor building, 270,000 square feet, and we fill it up with nothing but auto racing.
I used to go to when it was up in Fort Washington when I first started broadcasting back when I was affiliated with WNJC Radio in New Jersey, and followed you guys ever since, all the way down to the shore when you were down there and then back up to Oaks up until a few years ago. Now I moved down, and I broadcast out of southwestern Virginia, so it's a little bit more of a hike than a 45-minute drive that I was used to.
Yeah, it sure is. The show's really shaping up. It opens on Friday at 1 o'clock and closes on Sunday. And we made a real emphasis this year on showcasing many different cars that have been really special over the years. We have Richard Petty's number 43 Superbird that he raced back in 1970. And we also have the Oldsmobile 1957 Oldsmobile convertible that Richard and Lee both raced. They came out of the Petty Museum. We have a car from Bonneville and Al Hanna's Jet Dragster, things of that nature. The Corvette that Dale Earnhardt Jr. and the Senior both ran in the 24 Hours of Daytona. We have the USAC Midget that Jeff Gordon made famous when he ran, back in his early day racing when the shows were presented on ESPN each Wednesday night. So there's quite a bit of different cars and vehicles to see. Tommy Baldwin is bringing one of his Cup cars up, and one of his haulers that is going to be open for tours at the show. That's something different. We had done that maybe 20 years ago with an Earnhardt trailer with Richard Childress. It was really nice, and that was well accepted, so we're looking forward to that as well. Major driver at the event will be Joey Logano, who will be there on Saturday for 2 hours, first doing a one-on-one questionnaire with the fans and then signing autographs afterwards.
I noticed that you have a lot of other dignitaries coming in. Eagles running back Brian Westbrook and doing some autographs. Also another Q&A session on Saturday with Kenny Wallace, who will be joining me a little later on to talk about him showing up there.
Yeah, Kenny's been to the show before. It's kind of an interesting deal in that he's coming and doing a promoter seminar earlier in the day with Speedway Benefits, with Humpy Wheeler's group. And then he'll be coming to the stage and doing a kind of a discussion with the race fans, more or less from the promoter side, Kenny being a co-promoter of Macon Speedway. So he's going to talk from that side at a point, some of the observations that fans might not see. They're quick to complain about race promoters, but maybe hear the other side of the story, and then Kenny's willing to listen to the fans as well. So that'd be interesting, and he's going to follow that up with some autographs. Dr. Dick Berggren is going to be there signing autographs and also doing a stage presentation. He recently helped publish a book on New England auto racing history, and he's so trying to open up a new museum in New England right up by the Speedway in New Hampshire that'll be dedicated to New England auto racing. So Dr. Dick will be there. And there's plenty of other dignitaries along the way. A lot of the local drivers are from the Northeast will be signing autographs as well. So we're pretty excited about it. Both Steve Park and Tom Baldwin are going to be signing autographs, and they're going to be there promoting their new auto driving experience up at Thompson Connecticut Speedway as well. So there's 270,000 square feet. There'll be over 200 cars, everything from a quarter midget to an Indianapolis car. So there's plenty to see. It takes a lot of time to go through it. We also have we have a reunion. Last year it was the East Windsor Speedway that's now been closed for a considerable period of time. This year we're kind of reliving the history of midget auto racing, and it kind of works in with the Chili Bowl just completing. This is a 75-year history of midget racing, and there's going to be over 20 different midgets from all different eras that'll be on display, and about 20 different drivers that made a name for themselves in the sport will be there signing autographs on a special card that we have for them. And on Friday night at the stage, they're going to do a kind of an open discussion on midget racing history. And prior to that, we're going to show the movie The Big Wheel, which Mickey Rooney starred in way back in the day in black and white film. And it featured a lot of auto racing from the midgets across the country. It was more or less the Days of Thunder movie that really helped ignite midget racing back in those days.
And the thing about midget racing, being the size of the cars, you can pretty much run them anywhere. I know you also have the event in Atlantic City, the indoor race there, and you also have a Trenton indoor race as well now. And
it seems like
the picture was always the Atlantic City one that I remember. So how was it at the one in Trenton?
Well, we've already run that. That was the 3 days before Christmas. We ran the Battle of Trenton. We had 70 TQ midgets there vying for 24 qualifying spots in Saturday night's feature. We really don't have enough room to take anymore. We could have had upwards of 90 TQs for that, which in Atlantic City we do take that many. I believe we have 93 entered at this point, plus we run the slingshots and the go-karts along with it, and it brings our total of over 200 race cars will be in Atlantic City the following weekend, the 30th and 31st, for the Napa Know-How weekend and Saturday night's big Gamblers Classic. Pretty exciting stuff. The racing in Trenton was really good. We ran Twin 20s on Friday night and then a feature on Saturday night. And Andy Jankowiak from Buffalo, New York, an asphalt modified driver, really dominated on Saturday's program. And Eric Rudolph, who's also up from he's from Rochester, New York, he was one of the winners on Friday night, along with Ted Christopher from Plainville, Connecticut. So Rudolph being a dirt modified guy and Teddy an asphalt modified guy, they're super modified midget stars, dirt modified racers. They all come together, and the Atlantic City is the big one for them that they're looking to get on Saturday night.
And that's always been a fixture there. It's probably a lot easier when the motorsports show was in Atlantic City and having the race nearby at Convention Hall. Everybody just go from one to the other.
Yeah, it did. It was easier for the people. It wasn't easier for my staff running two events at the same time. And it really took a lot away from the show, we found, because the people would leave early to go get something to eat before going to the races. And it kind of hurt the motorsports show a little bit. This will be the 30th year at Motorsports. We're going to crown the Miss Motorsports, and that's our Saturday night feature. And when we were in Atlantic City, we had to do that in the afternoon, and that took some of the spirit out of it. Of interest at this year's Motorsports show is that we're going to have 10 of our former winners will be there signing special autograph cards and meeting the people as well. We go all the way back to 1994 when Mitty Miller won. She's coming to the show, and she was one of the very popular winners of the competition. And some of the more recent people, Ashley Stremme, or Ashley Deal, she was at the time. She married driver David Stremme. She's coming back. She'll be there to sign autographs. And we're really looking forward to that. Plus the, you know, the crowning a 30th winner. We have 20 girls that have entered the competition already. And that'll really fill up the section of its stage E area that we're going to have that in this year. We've actually added 20,000 more square feet to the show with the addition of a new room that they opened up there.
I know it was always one of the big features was Miss Motorsports. I had a young lady that was attempting to compete in that this year on the show a few weeks ago. And she's looking forward to trying to raise some money to get up there. Hopefully she achieves her goal and we'll be able to compete in the pageant. And
yeah, pays $1,500 to win. It's a pretty good, plus we have a poster deal where they do a couple appearances for us and we buy them some posters that they turn into extra cash. The girl that won this past year, Cassie Pinder, did an excellent job. She went to the Knoxville Nationals. She went to the Charlotte World Finals. She went to Florida in February for Speed Week. So, I mean, she really worked hard to represent the crown very well.
The thing about it is it's not your typical beauty pageant. The fact that the girls usually have to know a bit about motorsports as part of the competition, that helps the purpose that they represent as Ms. Motorsports and you guys.
Yeah, we're very proud of, you know, to have that many girls come back, and a lot of them have gotten jobs, publicity jobs, or representatives of teams. Quite a few of them actually moved to the Charlotte area and work within different forms of racing. So we're really proud of what we put together over the years. And when we did the first one, we had no idea what was going to go on, and the first winner, Tracy Lape, had kind of got out of racing. She actually tried to drive a sprint car herself for a little while before moving out of the area, and she really set the tone for all the other girls to follow, and it's turned out to be something that we look forward to every year at the show.
And all the thing is, too, now you have a lot of major tracks in the area with booths at the show, Dover, Pocono, I know Martinsville's down there as far as the bigger tracks. I don't know if you've added any. I know Nazareth is shut down, but that used to be one of them.
Yeah, we lost a lot of our tracks, unfortunately, in this area. But the ones that are still around are very strong. They're on display, and a lot of the different racing series are represented. So there's plenty to see and do. It'll keep you busy. We also have quite a hardcore racing section, which has actually grown over the years, where a lot of the manufacturers, racers come and buy helmets and uniforms and look at the latest of parts, rear ends, steering, transmissions, et cetera, that's all on display too in a separate area of the show. There's cutaway race cars where you can see the insides, all that's going on, and there's also a seminar series that's free at the show. Where it's kind of the things from engine tuning to setting up your chassis or safety, et cetera, et cetera. So there's, a multitude of different things to see at the event.
That's the thing, too.
You can go to ARN.com, and all the schedules are there as well. Schedules of who's going to be there, what times, and also the seminars.
And you can all the information as far as start times and ticket sales as well. And how long have you been publishing Area Auto Racing News, if I may?
My father started in 1963, so we're starting our 52nd year now in business. And it's anybody that hasn't seen the paper, it's still a print. We're very proud of that. Our circulation is extremely strong, and people want to see it still in hard copy, but it's also available as part of your subscription online, so you can look at it first thing Tuesday morning. People generally, looking at it, go to it. They don't spend a lot of time. They look at headlines and maybe some photos or a certain story that they're looking for, something news breaking. and then they wait for the copy to come in the mail to sit down and read the lengthier stories or the more in-depth columns, which our paper is very well known for.
And all the photos. My partner has some photos published with you guys, Tammy Allman.
Yes, yep. She does a great job. Yeah, we have probably over 100 different photographers that send in this. We've probably got, we're just finishing up this week's edition right now. I think there's 12 or more pages dedicated just to the Chili Bowl since they ran so many nights, and some in-depth notebooks and feature stories and backstage commentary. Our staff out there did an excellent job.
And it does seem like you guys are everywhere. It seems like no matter whatever track I've been to, you, Harry Odo,
has
been there as well.
We try.
You must have a pretty big staff to cover all the small tracks as well as the big ones.
Yeah, we really are lucky that so many people dedicate their time to making this all work out.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Being in publication that long, and then I don't care what they say. You know, what is electronic stuff and Kindles and things you read on. But sometimes it's not the same as bringing a newspaper somewhere, just sitting down, relaxing, and flipping through the pages. You know.
Yeah.
But then again,
Well, that's what we hear from our readers, and of course, a lot of the race fans in the grandstand are, from the generation that do want that newspaper, and hope it'll continue. I know I have two young sons, both that have raced, and my younger son Davey still runs a 410 sprint car, and they have all the latest technology and know it better than I do, but they still want to sit down with a paper or a newspaper or a magazine and still read that. So I think we're in good shape.
Well, that's good to hear because it's one of the classier publications as far as motorsports go, and a lot of them have gone by the wayside. So it's good to see that you guys are still going strong and being able to put on the motorsports show every year. And it's always a fun thing to go to. I mean, I used to cover it, so I used to get a couple days in a row and just make sure I didn't miss everything because no doubt you really can't see everything in one day.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. Certainly if you're going to get some autographs or see some of the shows, that takes a little bit of your time up. Just walking the show. A lot of people come on Friday and take their time. We open early on Friday at 1 o'clock, and they can walk around the show, see that. And then Saturday we open at 11 a.m., but it's a lot bigger crowd on Saturday, and it's a little harder to get around and see everything, certainly if you wait for some autographs or want to go see the Miss Motorsports show. So, again, there's plenty to see and do, and we hope everybody will come out. And the weather looks great. It's going to be a good weekend for getting the season started.
And if everybody wants to go to get tickets, they can either get them at the door. Can they get them online still, or is it too late for
no,
that
it's,
right now?
It's better. We open the box office an hour ahead of time before the show does, and we allow you into what is C Hall. There's some exhibits and cars on display, so you can get there early, get your tickets, get inside, check your coat, maybe have a drink and walk around, look at some of the exhibits, and then the entire show will open up for you. So, again, the ticket lines move really quickly.
And don't forget to get your keep your stubs, get your hands stamped in case you want to go out, catch a smoke, and get back in because can't smoke indoors anymore. And the seminars, that's one of the main things that drivers or anybody really is that can just want to sit in a seminar and learn how marketing or engine building or anything like that, which is, it's something to get that kind of tutelage as a person that's in the field for just showing off.
Yeah, they're free, and there's three seminar rooms that are kept busy the entire all day Saturday, part of Friday. We don't do them on Sunday. Sunday's our kids' day. We have kids' big wheel races, which is a tradition since the beginning. This will be our 30th year of holding them, and then we'll also have our Little Miss and Tiny Miss, and it's just more of a relaxful day on Sunday.
And I always noticed Sunday was a little more relaxing. Saturday's the hustle and bustle day, and Friday, I guess everybody's only the hardcore people that that can get up there and go all 3 days.
Yeah, it's more of a, it's a little more chance to walk around without the big crowd. A lot of the racers come, local racers come on Friday during the day to talk to the vendors, spend some time with them, buy some product, and there's some great deals on speed equipment that several of the vendors there, it looks like a Walmart at Christmas. There's so many people buying. The prices are right. There's no shipping. You get professionally sized for your equipment. You make sure that it's right. It's really the way to do it.
Yeah. And it's, I know a few of the young drivers that I had interviewed there running sprint cars. One now works for Fox Broadcasting, and another one is down in North Carolina. She's, I think she's getting ready to head to Daytona for the ARCA race. Mm-hmm. So it's just amazing the people that were there, and I interviewed a couple of people at the shop. One was a young driver named Jesse Morrison, and she said that was her first radio interview, and now she works for Fox. Well, then it was a Speed Channel. Now it's Fox Sports 1, so
it's just amazing
how the people you meet go on to bigger and better things, and hopefully they still remember you.
Yeah, exactly. You run a little part of it. Yep. So, well, I got to go. We're on deadline here of the paper. We appreciate your time. And we look forward to everybody seeing them this weekend at the Motorsports Show up in Oaks, Pennsylvania.
All right. Thank you again for coming on, and let you get back so you can get the publication out. And we'll talk to you again in the future.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Len Sammons, publisher of Area Auto Racing News, of course, the guy in charge of the whole shebang, so he has a lot to oversee. I'm glad he took a good 20 minutes out of his time. Joining us in a little bit will be none other than the Herm, Kenny Wallace, who also will be appearing at Motorsports 2015 doing a Q&A. I'm going to be doing it from the promoter side. That's pretty interesting how race car drivers can't get enough of the sport and are always in. Kenny Hunchell still does dirt racing and now track promoting. So to get his feedback on that, it was always a pleasure getting him out of Dover every race when he was running in the Nationwide Series. And I got a lot of good interviews with Kenny Wallace. And then, of course, he joined us on the show when he was appearing at Motorsports, I think it was 2011. So it was in 2010 he joined me, and in 2011 he was on the Motorsports, at the Motorsports show. It was in 2010. I can't remember. Not to ask him when the last time he was there, because I know I had him on right beforehand. And we got to talking about a bunch of things and take on the state of NASCAR as well, because he will be doing Fox Broadcasting for when NASCAR hits the airwaves again for Speed Weeks in the Daytona 500, which will be coming up, I guess, shortly. So we'll see what happens, and we'll talk to him about that as well. If anybody hasn't heard, John Force Racing has gone back to Chevrolet, and when he's been with Ford and Castrol so long, and now it's going to be peak antifreeze, and he's going to be driving a Camaro. So maybe we can get, we've had John on before, so maybe we can get him on again, talk about driving his Chevy.
Hi, I'm John Ford, 16-time NHRA Funny Car Champ. I know you're all waiting and excited about the new announcement of a manufacturer. So am I. You know, we live in a tough economy, and it's been a tough year on and off the racetrack. But I'm here to tell you, John Ford's Racing is going to be okay. We're going to field three funny cars and a top fuel dragster with Robert Height, myself, Courtney and Brittany Ford. What's really exciting to me is how the fans and friends and sponsors stood by me. Auto Club of Southern California, Praxis, Matt Tool, Lucas Oil coming on board, and Peak Antifreeze and Coolant taking the lead on John Force's plenty car. It's going to be a great year. Today I'm excited to say that the new manufacturer will be General Motors. Yeah, I'm going back to my roots. Just like you see right here behind me, the 1975 Chevrolet Vega that I raced down in Australia, that was the beginning of my career. Just a young kid is the way I feel right now. I'm starting all over again. And to hear more about the future in John Force Racing, president and driver of the Auto Club SS Chevrolet Camaro, Robert Height will be speaking to you about the future of John Force Racing.
Hi, I'm Robert Height, funny car champion and driver of the Auto Club of Southern California Chevy SS Camaro funny car. This is an exciting day here at John Force Racing. We're announcing Chevrolet as our new manufacturer. And if you look at the last few years in NHRA drag racing, funny car class and top fuel is so competitive that it's impossible to win without a manufacturer. And we picked the right manufacturer, Chevrolet. You look at their track record, they win in everything. They've won in NASCAR every year. NHRA Pro Stock in 2014 came down to two Chevrolet Camaros. The manufacturer provides new technology that helps us win and puts us ahead of the pack. We picked the right group. Isn't it about finding new roads? The path at John Force Racing is the Chevrolet Brute Force Monza. The future is the Chevy SS Camaro. Now it's our job to get out there and win championships, and no one knows how to do that better than all of us here at John Force Racing.
I'm Courtney Forrest, and I'm excited to be the driver of the Traxxas Chevrolet SS Camaro funny car. My dad has had a great history with Chevy, and I'm excited to make some history of my own this season.
I'm Brittany Forrest, driver of the Top Fuel Dragster. If you look around our shop, there's photos of my dad in the winner's circle, standing in front of a Chevy, holding the scroll. And it's crazy to think that I'll have a chance to bring home my first win, now that JFR is back at home, back where we started with Chevrolet.
I have great memories of racing and winning championships with General Motors and Chevrolet. We're excited to start the season, and we want you all to come out to the NHRA race and watch what we do then. And that's what. And if you get a chance, stop by those Chevrolet dealers and see our lineup cars, trucks, especially at Chevrolet SS Command.
And there's a clip of John Force making his announcement going back to Chevrolet with daughters Brittany, Courtney, and team president and also co-driver Robert Height. We'll be back right after these words from our sponsors.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cadence Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cadence Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cadencecandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cadence Candle.
Yeah! Yeehaw! Y'all want a date with an international model? Well, Hillbilly Horror Show is going to make it happen.
Oh,
that's right. We're having ourselves a contest. And the winner gets an all-expense-paid trip to Hollywood and a date with international swimsuit model and star of Hillbilly Horror Show, actress Rachel Faulkner.
You are going to make some guy so happy.
Head on over to HillbillyHorrorShow.com for details and be sure to catch Hillbilly Horror Show Volume 2 on DVD February 17th.
And we're back, and don't forget, go out, check out our sponsors, Cadence Candle and HillbillyHorrorShow.com. You go to their page, sign up for their contest, you will see our logo, so you can actually link into Garage Talk Live from them. And it's great to be partners with them. Bo Keister, one of the stars of the show, Rachel Faulkner, have all been here, as well as Stu Scott Guider, who plays Cephas. So Bo is Bo and Rachel is Lulu. So it's kind of hillbilly fun watching horror movies. So check them out. Sign up for their podcast and newsletters and get their DVDs. They're moving along pretty good. Well, we should have Kenny Wallace joining us in a little bit. So we'll be able to talk to him again and what he's got planned as far as being a track promoter. As far as the motorsports show goes, you can catch Kenny on Saturday from 3:30 to 5 on the E-Hall stage. So he'll be there signing autographs and doing his thing. As we wait for him to call, we can also find out as far as the Chili Bowl goes, Sarah Fisher was her first time climbing back into a car to compete in that after years of driving in the IndyCar series and now as a team owner. And, of course, her team merged with Ed Carpenter's team, so now it's Fisher-Carpenter Motorsports, and they'll be teaming up again for this year's Indianapolis 500, probably this way to get all the more of the races, because when Ed Carpenter, when he drove for her before he went out on his own team, did run fairly well. Himself, so it's pretty interesting to see that he was there. And as everything is gearing up, we'll be going to bring it to you as things kick off. So we're hoping Kenny makes it in. See what else we have for news. Of course, the NASCAR Hall of Fame induction will be on the 30th of January, which will be the Friday from following next week's show. That includes Bill Elliott, Wendell Scott, Fred Lorenzen, Joe Weatherly, and Rex White. So they'll be inducted for the Hall of Fame. And of course, the only modern guy right there now is Awesome Bill from Dawsonville. Of course, coming off of Chase Elliott winning the Nationwide Series, which will now be known as the Xfinity Series. Then he will be trying to retain his position there. So that's pretty interesting to see. So in other news, the promoter sports show this coming weekend, we got the History of Midgets reunion that Len talked about at the Expo Center. And as far as the auto 95 vehicles, he said, at the indoor show. So that's a pretty good amount of vehicles for somebody that... only where they race once a year inside the convention set around the old arena, so it's not a lot of room. And they're running the quarter midgets there, so there'll be a lot of competition over the course of a few nights. And, of course, the Atlantic City indoor race will be held... weekend of the 30th and 31st, because figure this weekend will be the indoor show up in Oaks, and then they'll come down to Atlantic City and run that. Maybe when they were doing the motorsports show in Atlantic City, instead of doing it the same weekend, they should have held it. Kept the race for the weekend after. There's a lot of the people that would have been down there for the show could have just hung out over for the race. But in Atlantic City in the wintertime, really outside of casinos, which are closing down, aren't much to do out there. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens. Of course, everybody knows that the price of gas has been down. So that means the price of racing fuel was also down, I would imagine. So it's cheaper to get fuel for the cars because of the fuel prices, as far as like diesel fuel, as far as transporting these cars to get there too. And of course, the racing fuel, I don't know if that, what the price of that is anymore. I know there used to be a few gas stations in the area, a couple of Sunoco stations that used to have a Sunoco 260 that you could fill up your race cars with heading to Atco Dragway in Berlin. So, but some of these places have closed down now or didn't sell it anymore. That used to be a leaded gas, and with everybody going to unleaded gas and racing now, I think not many people can, everything's geared over for that now, for cleaner air. But still, the smell of spent race fuel still smells good. I don't care if it's leaded or not. It has a sweetness to it that you just don't find everywhere. Now, nitromethane in the top fuel and dragster and funny cars, that stuff's nasty. That'll make your eyes water and burn and things like that. That's why they sell gas masks at the drag strips when they run there. So that remains to be seen. Hey, but in the meantime, if you want to give us a call, the number is 646-649-1899. Be happy to take your call and tell us what you think. I'm hoping Kenny makes it in, but... seemed that we were good to go. I haven't heard back otherwise, or did I? Let me check the old email. Yep. So were hoping to have him call in. It doesn't look like he's got some time to do it yet. We're on for another 20 minutes. We can take your calls, too. Give us a call at 646-649-1899. I'd be happy to talk to you about the upcoming racing season. We can even talk about the past NASCAR season with the chase was done and the list of drivers in it and how they fared. Of course, Kevin Harvick winning his first Sprint Cup championship. But anyway, let's get another word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back after these words.
Cajun's Candle is a family-owned company that makes the finest quality hand-poured candles you'll find anywhere, in many different colors, sizes, and scents. They use only the best wax and scents to ensure your candle performs to its very best, each and every time. Cajun's uses a unique blend of hybrid wax that consists of a 50% soy and a 50% paraffin mixture, enabling the best of both worlds in candle making. The soy base is to ensure a cleaner burn while being environmentally friendly, and the paraffin is used to achieve a great scent throw and the ability to add color nicely, giving those bright, vibrant colors that catch your eyes. Cajun's Candles carries a wide variety of gel candles as well. Need a fundraiser for your school or church? Candles make a great item to use for fundraisers for any type of function you may have. Give Cajun's Candles a call at 610-960-5677 or find them on the web at www.cajunscandles.com. And for all you Facebook users, be sure to like them at Facebook at facebook.com/Cajun's Candle.
Yeehaw! Y'all want a date with an international model? Well, Hillbilly Horror Show is going to make it happen.
Oh,
that's right. We're having ourselves a contest. And the winner gets an all-expense-paid trip to Hollywood and a date with international swimsuit model and star of Hillbilly Horror Show, actress Rachel Faulkner.
You are going to make some guy so happy.
Head on over to HillbillyHorrorShow.com for details and be sure to catch Hillbilly Horror Show Volume 2 on DVD February 17th.
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. Other NASCAR news, we'll be joining Front Row Motorsports in 2015. Of course, remember Cole when he was driving for Swan Racing. And we'll be driving the number 35 Ford with sponsor from Speed Stick, including Daytona 500. Randy Cox will join Front Row team as Witt's crew chief. So Speed Stick and Cole Witt will team together for Front Row Motorsports. And as far as other news goes, it's slow bringing these things up on the computer. NASCAR Camping World truck season, believe it or not, is 20 years old this year. It's hard to believe. Doesn't seem like it was that long ago when they first started up. 20 years, I guess, 1995, 2015. That is a pretty long time. So it's good to see that they're going strong. It is always one of the most competitive series out of the top three because, A, you have hungry young drivers trying to move up, and you have older drivers trying to hang on, and then you have your guys in between that are growing. You look at guys like Jeb Burton or Chase Elliott from a couple of years ago, and Herman Quiroga, the Sauter brothers. So you got Johnny Sauter. He's the only one still driving. Timothy Peters, Ron Hornaday, probably the all-time winningest driver in the series and has the most championships. He's still driving there. Right now, pick up our very special guest, none other than the Herm, Mr. Kenny Wallace. Kenny, welcome back to Garage Talk Live.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be on Garage Talk Live. We just got back from the Chili Bowl, epic dirt race indoors in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
You've been busy then, sounds like. You're pretty wore out with all the stuff you got to be going. Just going to have to pack right back up and then head out to Oak, Pennsylvania for Motorsports 2015.
Yeah, I'm excited to come up there. It's a show that I've done a couple times, but, you know, Humpy Wheeler, who ran the Charlotte Motor Speedway for years, and then a dear friend of mine, Clint Elkins, who runs the dirt track down here in Carolina Speedway. Clint called me up and said, hey, you want to come up there and say a couple words? And I said, sure, I'd be happy to come up there and hang out with y'all. And then all of a sudden, 3 days later, I read that I'm the keynote speaker. Now I'm nervous.
Are you nervous? And only
never.
A couple of words. So when I've interviewed you at Dover, I don't know how many times in the past decade or so, and that's why you were one of my favorite interviewers that I always came to, because you were never at a loss for words. But now you get to do a Q&A as a track promoter. When did you get into being a promoter or making Speedway, if I'm not mistaken?
You know, I think people only know what they know. In other words, I don't know a lot about tennis, let's say, okay? And I think what happens is you get on TV and people know me as, you know, running 901 NASCAR races, and now they know me more for TV. But I've run dirt for 10 years. I've won a lot of races. And I guess about 6 years ago, me, Tony Stewart, Kenny Schrader, and Bob Sargent, we bought a dirt track called Macon Speedway in Macon, Illinois. So I guess it just catches some people off guard. You know, I never thought to advertise how much dirt I race, you know. But, yeah, we've owned that dirt track for about 7 years now, me and Tony Stewart and Kenny Schrader.
Wow. That's the second one for Stewart. Now he's got the Eldora that he promotes a lot. And of course, Kenny Schrader, he raced everything from everywhere at every time. So sounds like a good, healthy trio. How do you get along with Smoke, knowing his reputation as far as off on track goes? Off tracking, hopefully, he's different.
Well, Tony Stewart is a dear friend of mine. He comes to my house every week. We hang out up by my swimming pool and have a beer. So I don't talk about Tony like normal people would. And Tony's a great guy. He's a fierce competitor, and he's one of my dearest friends that actually comes to my home, comes into my house, and so we're that close. So we don't get into that bullshit talking about Tony and all the bad stuff that people like to bring up. I'm one of his closest friends. We just don't talk about it on TV.
And, well, Tony, as far as I know, has always been a straightforward kind of guy, and I always loved his driving style out there. You don't win championships and everything you drive being that way. I always just wish I could have got to know him as well as maybe some of you guys do, being deep in the industry. But, you know, I don't badmouth drivers anyway, and that's not my style anyway, but I always did like Tony. And, you know, him, as a matter of fact, winning a championship as an owner this time. And the fact that you two guys are close, because, I don't know, with the way dirt track is, and it seems to be your roots, and you always seem to love to go back to it whenever you can. Does it help you check out, like, the younger talent coming up, or the guys that run regularly as, you know, they do it all their lives and just love it so much that that's all they care about?
No, it's our responsibility. We give thousands of dollars to charity, you know, whether it's autism, up there in Dover, Delaware, to Artie Kempner. Artie, his son, he is autistic, and Artie Kempner is the producer of Fox Sports. So people like Tony and me and Kenny Schrader, we give thousands of dollars to charity, and besides that, we also give back. And great drivers like Jeff Gordon, Casey Kane, Jimmy Johnson, Clint Bowyer, all the NASCAR drivers have raced dirt, and that's how they made it to NASCAR. So what happens is, like, when we give money to charity, we also pay it forward by going back to the tracks that got us where we're at. So the reason we go back and run dirt is because the promoters like us to come and we help promote the sport. We pay it forward. And hopefully, you know, it draws more people to the racetrack. The promoter makes money, and then his track stays alive. And that's really the reason we all race dirt, is because we like to pay it forward and give back to the tracks that helped us get to NASCAR.
Well, that's a good way. And plus, it keeps the sport growing, like you said, and paying it forward. And then, you know, people come up through and they need a place to race to make it to NASCAR. And it's good to have tracks in the area. Now, as a promoter, what are some of the things that you get to do to bring people to the track? What are some of the fun things that have crossed your path that would say, make me want to come to Macon Speedway as well as going to my local track here in Whitfield, Virginia?
My job is, I'm the talent coordinator. So I'm the one that, you know, for example, I might call the St. Louis Cardinals up and I'll say, hey, Can we get Fred Bird, you know, the mascot of the St. Louis Cardinals, can we have Fred Bird come to our racetrack and we'll have Fred Bird night? And, for example, you know, children love mascots, and the St. Louis Cardinal organization, the baseball team, will say, Kenny, we love that you love baseball. Kenny, we like that you promote baseball. The St. Louis Cardinals said yes. And you know, we'll give them a small fee. And I'll have Fred Bird up in Macon, Illinois, and we'll call it Fred Bird Night. And, you know, during the race, whether it's intermission, it's a start of the race, victory lane, I'm in charge of that. I'm also in charge of talent. My job was to bring in Richard Petty last year. So I specifically, all by myself, got Richard Petty to come to the racetrack. You know, the year before that, I had Casey Kane there. You know, the year before that, we had a couple big dirt NASCAR shows. I had about 16 Sprint Cup truck Xfinity drivers, and we put on a lot of NASCAR races. But, you know, we have other things called faster pastor races, where we'll have local pastors from local churches, and they'll literally get in old cars and race them around. And we'll take the money that we raise tonight, we'll take a little bit, and we give back to the churches around the community. Another thing we do is we allow high schools, grade schools, we'll say, hey, instead of spending $10 or $12 for a ticket, spend $6 and sell these tickets, and we'll let you keep the other six. We have school nights. You know, we do an awful lot. We run a lot of different classes at our racetrack. You know, we run the Power Eye Midgets. We bring in the Lucas Oil Late Models, where we had a 100-lap race last year that paid $12,000 to win. We had Scott Blomquist there, Billy Moyer. The winner was Bobby Pierce. So as you can tell, we work hard at promoting. We just don't have racing. We have, like I told you, Fred Bird Night, the mascot of the St. Louis Cardinals, faster pastor races, school night. We even have Cinco de Mayo night for the Latinos. It's awesome. So we work hard to keep it entertaining for the fans.
That sounds pretty good. Now, tell everybody in the audience where Macon Speedway is. So if I'm looking for a vacation
Macon
spot,
Speedway,
I want to come down and visit.
Yep, Macon Speedway is in Macon, Illinois. And it's between Springfield, Illinois, and Decatur, Illinois. Small town, once again, you know, Macon Speedway, owned by me, Kenny Wallace is my name, Tony Stewart, Kenny Schrader, and our promoter is Bob Sargent. And Macon Speedway is in Macon, Illinois. It's between Springfield, Illinois, and Decatur, Illinois. And it's a pretty big area, the home of Caterpillar, big, you know, Peoria, Decatur, that area there is a big area for Central Illinois. A lot of commercialized companies, big agricultural state, home of, you know, corn and soybeans. So, yeah, it's a good area.
That's pretty nice to know, because sometimes you think Macon, Georgia. So this is Macon, Illinois. And we need to go there. And of course, I'm sure you have a website as well for Macon Speedway.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody got a website nowadays. Actually, websites are getting pretty old. You know, the biggest thing is you can go on Twitter. Twitter's got the biggest following in the world now. You know, the President of the United States, our Pope, all of our sponsors, everybody's on Twitter. It's quick interaction. You don't have to wait for the next newspaper. And, yeah, you can even go on Twitter, go on Facebook, MaconSpeedway.com, Macon Speedway, and Macon, Illinois.
I use Facebook a lot more than Twitter because sometimes 140 characters is a little bit
hard
too much, and I'm trying to figure out how to shrink
that.
It down.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, that's one great thing about Twitter is it gives people less room to write and just get your point in. And, you know, all of it's great. I mean, I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I did a lot of Facebooking tonight. And so if you want to go on Kenny Wallace official page on Facebook, I've posted a lot of pictures from the Chili Bowl. I've posted a lot of pictures of our dirt shop. So go to Kenny Wallace. Official page is the name. So it's push in Kenny Wallace and then put a space and write official page. And that's for all the fans to look at.
As a matter of fact, I used to be one of your old Facebook friends back before you went to the official page.
Yeah, well, what had happened, you know, is if you have a normal page, just, you know, it stops you at 5,000 people. So I have two pages. I have my own page, which is Kenny Wallace, but a personal page, Facebook, has it to where they max you out at 5,000 people.
Yeah, that's
so. If you go to my other page, has got 113,000 people on it. And that's just the way Facebook has it.
I know, and I follow you on Twitter as well because I was always a big fan of yours. And, you know, you got your other job coming up in a couple of weeks too, getting ready for the Daytona 500 and Speed Weeks. I just wanted to touch base real quick with you. What did you think of the chase format this past season? I thought it was exciting.
Well, you know, I think the best way to answer that is you know, let's ask the fans. And what the fans did was they, you know, a lot more tuned in. So there was, you know, maybe couple million more casual fans. You know, the casual fan, the fan that is on the fence going, oh, what's going on in that NASCAR? You know, they're like football or baseball fans. They tuned in because they knew it come down to one race. And it was exciting for everybody to watch one race and say, oh, my God, they really have a Super Bowl. They really have a World Series now. So because the new format came down to one race, man, it was awesome. I mean, it was everything and more. And, you know, a bigger percentage of people liked it than didn't like it. So if somebody said, listen, I don't like the new format, there was way more or less those people. There was a lot more people that liked it. So it really worked out good, and that's what it showed.
And I thought my take was from it. Oh, people say, well, the old, I like it if you run the points from beginning and end and you're the championship, but after a while, that got to be redundant because somebody ran away with it. I think the reason why the chase format came about was when Matt Kenseth had that 400-point lead going into the last couple races. And then with Jimmy Johnson winning all the championships in the chase, what the new format is, it rewards consistency and winning. So you either have to win to move on to the next round or run consistency enough, like Ryan Newman did, and make it all the way to the finals. And then made for an interesting finish because either you had to win the race to win the championship or beat everybody else in the field. So there wasn't going to be any lag on the part of the Final Four.
Yeah, and I think that's the reason we came to where we're at, because everything you just said. So your opinion is valid. It's truthful, and that's, you know, NASCAR has the official NASCAR fan club members. There's, you know, 12, 16,000 people on it, and they sent out a lot of surveys, and the fans said, hey, we want, they started a long time ago. They said, we don't want races to finish under the caution. So NASCAR said, okay, races will not finish under the caution. They said, hey, we want double file restarts. So NASCAR said, okay, fans, we hear you. We'll give you double file restarts. Then the fans said, hey, it's getting boring. So NASCAR said, okay, we listen to you fans. What we'll do is we'll shake it up. So, you see baseball and football and everybody, you know, instantaneous, you know, reviews. I think everybody's changing a little bit, you know, now with what we've seen, even in baseball and football.
That's for sure. Who'd have thought the college football would ever went to a playoff format for their bowl game championships and all that? So,
yeah, exactly right. You bring up a good point. Yep, even college changed. So, I think we just can't look at NASCAR and go, NASCAR needed to change because the fan base was dropping. If you look around, truth be told, you know everybody's changed. So we got to do it, and the reason we got to do it is because we have cell phones now, and because we have Twitter and Facebook. A lot of people won't even leave their computer, and they want to sit home, and they're like, hell, why would I go to a race when I can sit here and Facebook or tweet or Instagram? And so all sports had to engage with the new societal change of social networking. So I think college football, I think baseball, football, I think everybody's reacting to what new society wants.
There's one thing NASCAR hasn't done that we had talked about in an interview with Dover, and that's the halftime intermission.
I don't know about that. That's something that they could look at. Obviously, when you start a race at your local dirt track, unless you're going to run out of gas, maybe the World of Outlaws might run 50 laps and say, okay, everybody's on alcohol, we need to stop at lap 25. Nine times out of 10, you watch baseball. They do have seventh inning stretch time. But that's maybe a couple minute more break. I don't know. I don't know about that. I'm not going to say no. I think that we need to keep our eyes and ears open. I know that the sport has changed so much. I know that NASCAR has done 99% of what the fans want. So maybe one day they'll give you a timeout so you can go to the bathroom and make yourself a sandwich.
I think we had discussed it back then because the races were getting to be too many long green flag stretches and the field was getting stunk up and throw a little halftime caution there to bunch them all back up when things get, and as far as instead of the old Jacques Debris phantom cautions that we used to get.
Well, the great thing about our sport is it's still number one. The great thing about NASCAR, it's the greatest motorsports in all the world. It rivals Formula One, and we all like to bitch and moan about this or that. But in reality, NASCAR is number one. And, all our little short tracks are, they know when NASCAR is good, then all racing is good. So it's definitely something that we constantly look at. But to change things right away, these things take time. There's been so many changes in our sport. I think we've got to let the dust settle a little bit now. We've caught a lot of people off guard. We've gotten more big changes this year with, we've got less horsepower. We're taking downforce off the cars to try to produce more side-by-side racing. So NASCAR has worked really hard. They've already changed the rules a lot this year. They've taken 2 inches off the rear spoiler. They've taken downforce off the nose. They've got rid of 125 horsepower. So there's already more big hidden changes this year by you know, changing the race cars. So a little bit at a time, and I think things are looking up, and stock market's looking good. Gas prices are getting lower. People are able to get loans now, so things are getting better.
And that's a good thing, because a lot of the businesses, a lot of the tracks, when they had the big boom and built all the extra seats going from 70,000 max to the 130,000, 140,000, and then when times got tough and they couldn't sell them, places like Dover Motorsports, right, a half a dozen tracks had to shut them down or sell them, and a lot of the other tracks had to cut back on things, and it really hurt them. So hopefully we're going to have a good year this year, and with the new rule changes should put, I guess, more back in the driver's hands, and instead of having relying on the engineers back in the shop, which would make it more fun. So we'll just have to wait and see. When do you have to get ready to start up for Fox and kick off the season? Shouldn't be too long now.
It'd be our first show will be February 14th for the Sprint Unlimited. We'll be excited, and then we'll just keep on digging, and we go all the way till January. June 28th will be our last race, and then halfway through the year, NBC will take over at Daytona. So all that's been announced, and we're excited about it. So you're only going to have two networks this year. Of course, you'll have Fox and Fox Sports 1. And then you're going to have NBC and NBCSN, which is NBC Sports Nation. So things are be digging here. Of course, it got pretty boring this winter because, the race owners, Rick Hendrick, Roger Penske, said, hey, save us some money. You know, we spend $1.5 to $2 million testing. When you take Dale Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Casey Kane, Jeff Gordon, when four cars go to Daytona to test, it adds up to about $800,000 in a hurry. So no testing this winter. Everybody's burning at the bits right now. And the first deal will be practice on February 13th. And, of course, the Sprint Unlimited, the 14th, live on Fox.
And then, of course, we'll see you at Motorsports 2015. Taking questions from the audience and on being the track promoter. So I guess your day is
Let me straighten you out a little bit there on that. What we're doing is we're going to be at Motorsports, and we're going to be talking about racing in general. I don't got a speech. I'm going to talk, and then I'm going to open up for Q&A, and we're going to exchange ideas. I don't know everything. There's a lot of great racetracks out there, and I think what it does is kind of get the ball rolling,
That's true, because the last time you were there was, 2010, I think? It was. You were on the show then.
I was there with John Force a couple years ago, I think.
Yeah, okay, that's right. It was the same year. I think it was 2011. Now, there's a guy who's had to make a few changes. What do you think about the guy's just falling short of another championship at 60-some years old, going 300 miles an hour. That's another fun sport to watch.
I don't think he fell short of anything. I think he's the greatest drag racer to ever live, 16-time champion. He won last year. He just signed a new sponsor, Lucas Oil, just took over. And, John Force is drag racing, and he's one of the greatest of all time, and there's no failure in his eyes because he's won it all, and he's still digging, and he's putting other drivers and people, and he's promoting the sport. So, that's like saying the New England Patriots haven't won all the Super Bowls. He's successful for the rest of his life. It's kind of like end, he's the greatest.
He's my favorite drag racer as well. He's also joined me and some of his daughters, and I think that's what NASCAR, needs to do is get more female driver involvement. And it's a shame they have to bring sponsorship with them, and a lot of them can't find that to make it. Of course, Danica's got GoDaddy. We had Johanna Long in the Nationwide a couple of years ago, but landing a good ride with a sponsor seems to be their undoing. So hopefully we can see more of that. That's probably the next big thing, because I think as far as that goes, the NHRA has more women at high, upper levels. Of course, Erica Enders winning the Pro Stock Championship as a first female to do that. So that's a, another landmark.
Yeah, I think the reason it's easier for ladies to drag race is you don't need as much money. No doubt in my mind that Joanna Long is a great driver. You know, she won the Snowball Derby. You don't win the Snowball Derby and luck into anything. You know, Danica Patrick's a great race car driver. A lot of great girl race car drivers that can, you know, oval race. But the point taken is drag racing is a much cheaper sport. It just costs, you know, to run the nation or the Xfinity series now. You know, it's $6-7 million for a full year. You know, to run Cup, it's anywhere from $8 to $20 million, depending, you know, what kind of level. So I think a lady can get into drag racing much cheaper, and I think that's why we see more lady drivers in NHRA.
Yeah, that's just it. Some the females in NASCAR have to get the sponsors to come in, and you have to win to get the sponsors, but they have name recognition is a lot of things, so who knows. Well, Kenny, I'm glad you're able to join me tonight. If I couldn't get you tonight, I hope for you for next week. So it was good to, glad you could make it on a short notice for me, and well, let's roll, maybe get some rest up or whatever you got next. And thanks again for coming along with us.
All right. Thanks for supporting the sport. We'll see you all up there in Philly here on Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you. There you have it. Kenny Wallace, the Herm. Going to be at Motorsports 2015. And tapped into his brain a little bit on NASCAR this year. So, hope everybody enjoyed tonight's show. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Racing season starting to rev up. Good night. And good racing.